It's good to see all of you this morning. I don't know if you need a happy nappy today. You get tomorrow off, so most of you do anyway. But it is good to see all of you this morning. If you have any questions or comments about anything that's said or done here, if I teach anything out of the way, contrary to the Word of God, then please, I'd count you as a brother or sister in Christ, a friend, especially if you'd point that out to me. I want to talk about one of the most widely popular verses in the New Testament, John 3:16. The text says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son." Other translations say His only begotten Son, "that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." If you watch any sporting event, any wrestling matches or anything, you see people in the crowd with this sign, John 3:16. I'm not sure if they understand or know what the whole verse says, but they may focus on, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You may see it in other events. You may see sports stars wearing it under the black in their eyes, as Tim Tebow does. I had it right the first time. But this statement probably brings more to mind than any other scripture when you talk about people in the world. It brings more comfort to people who want to be saved, who desire to be saved. So what does this verse mean? Why does it mean so much to so many people that people in the general public will hold up a sign that says John 3:16? I think no doubt it deserves its fame, because it is a beautiful passage. It beautifully summarizes the gospel. It has, in fact, been called the Bible in miniature, and it has been called the gospel in a nutshell. Of course, that idea can be taken too far. But no one can do justice to an entire range of truth taught in the Bible in just one verse. No one verse can even contain all of the important elements of the gospel. But we want to study this verse today and give a closer observation to what this verse presents to us as far as the most vital truths as we study the summary of the gospel given in John 3 and verse 16. This passage begins by talking about the existence of God. This verse presents the very fact that God is. For God. It introduces us straight away. It says, "For God so loved the world." You realize this verse tells you that without God, there could be no gospel. There would be no good news of the gospel of Christ. And without believing in God, well, what does the Hebrew writer say in chapter 11 and verse 6? That without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. John 3:16, I'm at a football game, I'm in a wrestling match. Am I diligently seeking God? Well, we can't answer what's in someone's heart. But I understand without this passage, as well as all the others, one cannot be saved. But it talks about the existence of God. And we can emphasize the part of man in his own salvation when we look at this passage. Man sometimes begins to think that the gospel is self-centered. His own salvation is centered about himself. It's me, myself, and I, and I don't need anybody else to tell me how to get to heaven. Well, that's a dangerous thing when we can begin to think of the gospel as a man-centered activity. I don't need God. Yeah, think about how ridiculous that sounds. I don't need God to tell me how to get to a place that God has prepared and has reserved for those who diligently seek Him. We shouldn't make such a mistake as that. Because the gospel begins with God. And even if you view John 3:16 as a summary of the gospel, it all begins with God. For God so loved the world. It begins with the fact of His very existence. You have to acknowledge that God is if you believe in John 3:16. It begins with His very nature, His love for you and I, and the fact that He has planned for our salvation because of His love, and the initiative that He established a plan to save us. I want you to understand that anything that we must do to be saved, anything that we must do or have to do to be saved, is simply a response to what God has already done. He's already put this plan into motion. And in order for us to be saved, we have to acknowledge, yes, God exists. And it's His plan. The next thing that John 3:16 teaches us is the love of God. This verse presents that God is all about love. The text tells us, for God so loved the world. It's not enough if we are to understand the gospel for us to know that God just exists. Why does He exist? He loves us. And we need to also understand that God does love us. Well, who does that include? It includes all of mankind. Now, I didn't put this picture up here to say that there's aliens out there that God loves. That's a picture of the earth. Every soul on this big blue marble, God loves. Every soul. But you know who else He loves? You and I. I realize some of you may get upset with this, because your picture's up there. But He loves you and me. He loves everybody, people that you've never known, could not even imagine existed, people that you may have heard of on this world, historically or even to come in the future. He loves all of them, but He loves us. That's what the verse means. For God so loved the world. And it's because of that love that He initiated or put into existence the plan that made salvation available for you and I. Just to say that God so loved, that's not enough. But to say that God so loved is another way of emphasizing that we have what Paul addresses in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Notice he says there in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved. How much did God love you? He gave you a free gift. You don't do anything to deserve this salvation. No works that you can boast about it. I don't care how many good works you've done. This gift is given to you by God. All you have to do is believe. Diligently search for Him. Titus, Paul would write to him in Titus 3 and verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. According to His mercy. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is not provided to us because of our own goodness. If that were the case, we would never earn or deserve salvation. But God looks at us, and He sees us, and He bestowed His mercy and His grace upon us with this free gift because He loved each and every one of us. And He did so solely because of His concern for you and I. His love His mercy and His grace for each and every person here at Eastside and around the world. But the love of God, maybe most notable about this verse, is the word so. You know, I've talked about this passage in the past, and to me, explaining the word so here is like going to a grandchild and asking them, how much do you love me? And they throw their arms out. Papa, I love you this much. From fingertip to fingertip, there's a lot of love there in there. In the eyes, in the heart of a grandchild. But God's love goes beyond even that. The word so here, for God so loved the world. He loved you so much that He gave His one and only Son, as the verse says. How big is that one little word? It also says how much God loves us. But you know, it's just like anything else. When we're considering buying something, somebody wants to say, how much? How much? We don't ever buy anything without first looking at the price tag, do we? If somebody wants to sell you something, you go, well, how much? So when people say, well, God so loved the world, how much? How much? We all want to know, especially when we go to buy something or go to purchase something. And it's just like when a man tells a woman, I love you. Sweetheart, I love you. He can throw all the terms of endearment out there. Dearie, sweetie, honey pie, sugar bunch. I love you. Her next thought is going to be, how much? How much? And it could be vice versa. She could say it and he might go, how much? For example, if he forgets that he was supposed to visit with her and arrives late, she may conclude, well, you don't love me enough. But God said, I love you. And since He said, I love you so much, it's natural for us to ask how much. Well, God tells us here, for God so loved the world. How much, Lord? How much did you love the world? That He gave His only begotten Son, His one and only Son. That's how much. We just studied in Luke about Jesus being crucified on the cross. And in other accounts of the gospel, He could have called for legions of angels to come down and take Him down. But as He prayed in the garden, He told the Lord, not my will, but your will be done. This was part of God's plan. God so loved you, He loved you so much, that from creation until the end of time, He sent His Son to be that propitiation for you, to be that mediator, to be that perfect sacrifice, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How much do you love me, Lord? God loves you that much. He gave His only begotten Son. Other passages tell us the same thing, like in 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God so loved you. How much? He sent His only Son from heaven to die on the cross for us. He loves all of mankind. He loves each and every person here. But another thing this passage teaches us is that Christ is the only way to salvation. This verse presents Christ as the one and only way to salvation. Notice the verse says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Even before God looked down from eternity and saw the hopeless condition that you and I are in, He was determined to save us. Now, how did He do that? He provided one way of salvation. One way to salvation. And that's through the person, Jesus Christ. We notice passages in the Gospels like John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Notice what He says next. "No one comes to the Father except through Me." You cannot have salvation without following the commands of Jesus Christ. We stop right here and interject the Great Commission. Mark 16, 16. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's what Jesus said to do. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth." That means He has the right to tell us what to do and the right to expect us to obey it. He says here that you can't come to the Father. You can't have salvation. You cannot have eternal life without coming through Him. And when we're baptized, we come into the spiritual contact of His blood and rise to walk in newness of life. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other." We cited in a radio program this morning, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, "It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps." I need God. I need Christ. Because that's the only way that I can have salvation. There's salvation in no other. "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Doesn't work. Not in Islam. Not in the Pope's eyes. Not in John Calvin's eyes. Not in John Wesley's eyes. You can't be saved in any of their names. Only those who believe in Christ and commit themselves to Him, only then can we have the hope of eternal life. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And that's how we have salvation. But just as He tells us that, we have a tendency to ask, "But how much? How much?" And then some might say, "Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, Jeff, but what difference does it make? What difference will it make if I do what Jesus says or not?" Well, let me ask you this. Those of you that may be in school or in college or whatever the case may be, if you study hard, will you finish? Chances are pretty good. If you don't study at all, will you finish? I know some people that could answer that real easy. No. What about if we change jobs? If we don't work hard at that job, does it make a difference? If I don't put myself into the job and do what my boss tells me to do, will I draw a paycheck? Or if I move to another location, what difference does it make? Some might even ask the question, what difference will it make if I go to church or not? You see, each day that we get up and put our feet on the floor, we have to make a decision how we will respond to the gospel. And again, you may be asking yourself the question, what difference does it make? Well, here's a reminder. God so loved the world, He so loved you, that He gave His only begotten Son, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whether or not you respond to that love makes all the difference in the world. What difference, you might ask, between perishing and having eternal life? between spending an eternity in hell, in a hell prepared for the devil and his angels, or an eternity with everlasting life with the Father and the Son. Jesus offers the greatest invitation. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, you have to make the choice. And today is the day you need to make that choice. Whether you're going to respond to Jesus' invitation or not. Today you have to believe. You have to trust. And you have to commit yourself to Christ. Have you done that? God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son to this world. How much do you love Him in return? Do you love Him enough to make the choice to do what He says, to obey Him, to surrender to Him and subject yourself to His will? Do you reciprocate that love? God loves you so much that from the beginning of time, He's had this plan for your salvation. And it falls down to our choice. The question is, what choice are you going to make? If you're here this morning, you've never put Christ on in baptism, today, this moment, is the time for you to make that right choice. To become a child of God. It may be that you've done that, but something in your life has made you forget that God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son. And you've allowed sin to come in and creep into your life and take hold. This is an opportunity for you to come back to Christ, to allow Him to redeem you once again by confessing your sins as public as they may be. It may be that you're here and you just need the prayers of the saints. The invitation song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's a choice. What choice are you making today, this very hour? If you're here and your decision is that you're going to make the choice to serve Christ, I pray that